No matter how you wish to interpret the connection between history and Western religion, the New Testament stands as a theological and philosophical framework for governance that has failed the poor and uneducated for over 2,000 years. While Christianity may have aimed to inspire social change and liberate the oppressed, it instead became a tool for tyrants and those who thrive on dominating a subjugated class. Nations do not practice love of neighbor. Instead, we venerate power, oppressing the meek and kind-hearted. Those who were meant to find salvation in the Christian message have become the indoctrinated masses we exploit in an economy based on a master-slave paradigm. The reason why Christianity has been a religion of war and conquest is because the master-slave behavior is in our human nature, as bondage is the natural outcome of sexual competition. If we think, if we reason, if we approach intelligence, we will recognize the absurdity of our existence. Yet what we see, we are unable to change, because our tyrannical reality is in our nature. Competition is the personification of the alpha male and female. Competition is a primal instinct rooted in our sexual drive, which fuels evolution. We must recognize this reality before any meaningful change can occur. Our church should have been our salvation from this absurdity, but it is a monolith of dogma. It is not open to reason, it is tyrannical and was never designed to truly fulfill a Christian message. Rather, its design was to make a slave population docile and subservient, to support Caesar, the vast variety of kings and nobility of Europe, and today corporate oligarchs. Acts 17. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." Nothing changed. Everything remains upside down. If we could see the absurdity of our lives and redefine love as infinite compassion and empathy, instead of the desire we focus on today, our perspective would shift. If we recognized human existence as a collection of unnecessary suffering, we might finally understand the need to care for the least among us, instead of offering them the neglect and abuse they face now. We must stop pretending we can comprehend the unknowable, like the nature of God, and avoid labeling it as either good or evil. When we decide that life or God is good, we create false narratives about our purpose, turning love into something possessive, a tool for gaining power over others. Blinded by ignorance, we blame the devil for our failures and accept the absurdity of life as God's will. We claim to be made in the image of a good God, but fail to recognize we are animals, driven by the same evolutionary instincts as apes. We fight and kill over resources, subjugate those we claim to love, and remain clueless about our true motivations or purpose, all while killing women and children in pursuit of power and land. We ignore the Christian message of love of neighbor as unrealistic. Instead, we accept the Old Testament model of a chosen people who strive to be so through war and aggression. The Sermon on the Mount was so radical that the Defense Department wouldn't survive its application. 2006 speech, Senator Barack Obama. It is no longer inconceivable to build the world hoped for in the Christian message. Although class struggle has been how humans have moved forward and evolved, the norm is to the ideal, and we will eventually come to this ideal. Every rational person understands that we all benefit when our neighbors are intelligent and wise, and that there is no need for a leisure class or slaves to provide for us. Our economies already produce more than enough food and shelter for everyone. What we truly lack is truth and a proper education. Progress, in the traditional sense, is over for us. There is no further evolution for humanity. Intelligence will become artificial, and evolution will continue increasing complexity until reality becomes even more incomprehensible. Our purpose, as it once was, is complete. The struggle is finished. Now it is our responsibility to build a just and humane society. A civilization is built on its beliefs, and we will never escape the need for religion, as it is the tool that shapes our worldview. However, our civilization has outgrown its current dogma. Our belief systems are no longer compatible with modern knowledge, history, or science. Pastors can no longer fully believe what they preach, and if they do, it leads to a case of the blind leading the blind. If we continue to cling to the status quo, we will perpetuate a polarized society, divided between the ignorance of the masses and the hypocrisy of the elite. We cannot simply abolish Western religion for some New Age concept. Any transition must preserve the past while guiding us toward a solution that truly fulfills or redeems the promises in our religious texts. Since civilization is rooted in its beliefs, many of our problems likely stem from misunderstanding the truth about the unknown, what we call God. The solution lies in accepting that God is unknowable, while recognizing that what we seek from God is already within reach, attainable by all, and simple to realize. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22. The above verse is how the New Testament ends. It is a warning not to change the word. Similar to a penalty for committing a crime when we know people will always commit crimes. What we overlook is that the message we are told not to change was created out of a variety of possible options. The Testament was selected by 4th century theologians and politicians from a large variety of different takes of a messianic message. With one concern underlying the process of compilation, in hoc signo vinces, it was designed by the Pontifex Maximus, Constantine, for the dominion of the people of his empire. When we say Dominus or Lord, we speak of Caesar. What we use as our testament did have text added and was altered. It is a specific construct for dominion of the poor rather than its salvation. Yet this is unimportant because the true message of an expected Messiah and the Logos is a truth which is instinctively known to all reasonable people. In other words, rational minds selected the text to be the Christian spiritual guide, and it went through editing and revisions to become the ideal Logos for tyranny, for Caesar. And today will require rational minds to give it a full revision in order for it to become a message that actually works for all mankind. If the New and Old Testament has served us for this many years, why could we not evolve our interpretation of the text into a more truthful version of the human reality? Certainly, if we do, we can then commence with the initiation of the messianic age that has been so awaited for. Each of us as humans have similar motivations, and it has been from these motivations that we built the structure of our religion, society, and its laws. What can we honestly ask of God that we cannot provide for ourselves? In that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them, Romans 2:14. In the past, a pantheon of gods symbolized by planets and stars was used to explain the mystical forces of nature. These gods were thought to influence human traits, with love and war being expressions of their will in relation to humanity, all interpreted and mediated by a priestly class. With Christ, however, we are introduced to Platonic ideas. An unknowable God, the Logos, Son, or intellect, and the Holy Spirit, which links us to the divine. This shift calls for the removal of the priestly intermediaries and places the responsibility on each individual to understand God through their own soul, applying a law focused on the well-being of others. Recognizing that the New and Old Testaments reflect two distinct theologies could serve as a foundation for rethinking our beliefs and practices. Competition is effective, albeit brutal. Throughout the world, people compete. We exalt competition, a behavior which is based on taking something called profit from another. The reason we see so few people living under a law that is directed to the benefit of neighbors is because we have chosen to do the opposite. We choose to compete. Therefore, we live in an absurd society based on good and evil, greed and competition. We live in misery, and we produce misery only because we choose to do nothing about these facts. The reason we choose to compete is because it is our nature, and although reasonable people may choose otherwise, it is not natural to be reasonable. Reason requires education, and not everyone has this opportunity. I don't expect people to stop competing, but I do believe that there are reasonable, educated people that can see that life is better served in service to others. People that see a better world and are not motivated by the shiny objects that we obtain through competition. There are people that find it unpleasant to be motivated by sexual desire and find greater pleasure in the aesthetic values of a better society. I call on these people, the rational and considerate, to come together and build a proper belief and factual reality for the future. Constantine discovered the value of Christianity as a tool for dominion and would build a church that would dominate the Western world. A new priest class, an universal belief that was ideal for the empire. Today's Rome is not the city of Rome, but an institution that extends from the pastor of the local church to the international cabal of rulers that profit from human toil, all fueled by our stupidity. In all these years since Jesus Christ, humanity has evolved and prospered, yet little has changed in the relation between slave and master. It has been our church that has carefully maintained this status quo. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. Luke 23:34. Human evolution has been characterized by a brutal competition among hairless apes, a process we now refer to as civilization. This barbarism has been perpetuated by a church that acts out of ignorance rather than understanding. Civilization can be seen as an unfortunate, yet inevitable sequence of conflicts, wars, and enslavement that will persist unless we become self-aware, assess our circumstances, and face these truths honestly. Our church or religion can only promote what people are willing to accept, and people can only accept what their intellectual capacity allows. Therefore, if we truly desire a better world, it becomes essential to elevate the consciousness of everyone. The only good is knowledge, and the only evil is ignorance. Socrates. Our plight stems from ignorance of our reality, and only through proper reasoning can we hope to transcend this absurdity. By engaging in thoughtful contemplation, rather than reacting impulsively to life, we can avoid being controlled by governments, others, or circumstances. For text and extended videos, please visit my channel or website at historyreligionandtruth.com. You will find there a series called Bible Story, a critical assessment of the history of Western religion. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next edition in this series. Thanks for watching.